Warning: the following podcast contains adult themes, including, but not limited to, adult language, adult dragon animorphs, problematic encounters with potential love interests, steampunk vampires, potentially unhealthy relationships, goblin kings, and hosts that read way too far into silly romance novels. The opinions expressed in this podcast are entirely those of the hosts. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to Textual Tension, a love-hate relationship with romance novels. I'm your co-host, Margie.
And I'm your co-host, Rachel.
Every other week, one of us summarizes a romance novel for our unsuspecting co-host, and we review and unpack what the fuck just happened. So this week, I, Margie, am going to be the one who has read and summarized a romance novel for poor dear Rachel.
So excited. I get so excited for these because they're just... they're either great or they're so bad.
I'm just glad that, like, after I read it, there's someone who isn't going to judge me.
Nope.
And is going to like, what the heck?
This is a safe space. We don't judge here.
It's a safe space. Right. Okay. Okay, so you ready? You ready for a dat title, though?
Baby, I was born ready.
So the book that I picked was The Dark Highlander. By Karen M.
Yes!
Have you read this?
No, but okay. I may have seen it. I will, okay. like considered it.
It's a pretty famous one. She's a... Karen M. I've heard it pronounced Moaning or Moaning.
Okay.
right? I mean, there's no A in it, so thank God it's M-O-N-I-N-G, I know.
Okay, all right.
But it was better than the last thing I'd read, but literally, that's negative 100.
That's not... like, a high bar.
Exactly. So I feel like when I describe this novel, I feel like I let the main character get away with a lot of things, but it's just because I'm so desperate for a higher bar.
I'll admit.
So
I kind of ran into the same thing. So, right? Yeah.
So the reason why I picked this up is because my friend from choir, Megan, she recommended it to me, but we are actually two or three steps away from Moaning connected. Because Megan's mom knows Karen Moaning, and that's how Megan recommended it to me.
Neat. So, do I need to feel bad about bashing it if it is bad, or can I just... okay, I'm...
no.
Because I will not hold back.
No, and I'm not going to either. I'm absolutely not going to. So, it's... the overall Goodreads rating is 4.31.
Okay, not bad. Yeah,
so it's pretty good. It's pretty good. So, guys, I'm going to hand Rachel my computer that has the Dark Highlander cover on it, and then... she can go over... she's gonna read the description for you.
And I'm looking at it now. Is that a guy's back or a girl's back? I think it's a guy.
It's a guy. It's very really muscular.
Okay. So, listeners, what this looks like. Again, and I'm gonna start keeping track of how many books this is the case with. The author's name is bigger than the title. Again, I think we're 3 for 3 right now.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. Okay, so it is just a really dark background.
And which makes sense. It's called The Dark Highlander.
Well, yeah. There's a dude's back. Only his back and arm. One arm. You can kind of see a tartan going across. And he has, like, a Celtic-looking arm cuff that may or may not be photoshopped on. I can't tell.
It's like the photoshopped hand.
Yeah, a little bit. It's like, it's... I am not 100% sure whether or not that sucker was originally in that stock photo that they manipulated.
Oh, yeah.
I don't
probably
know.
Probably not. Probably not.
Oh, man.
This book was made in, like, and I think that's the original cover, in, like, 2003, so Photoshop was not in its prime.
You can kind of see where they, like, shaved away some of his bicep to make it look like the arm cuff is, like, tight against his arm.
I didn't even notice that when I looked at it.
You're okay, welcome.
Wait, you gotta get to the description.
Yeah, which one? Yeah. Okay, great. Okay, here we go. Let's go on this adventure together, listeners. Journey to a world of ancient magic, breathtaking sensuality, thrilling time travel. Journey to the world of The Dark Highlander. Crisscrossing the continents and the centuries, here is a novel as gripping as it is sensual, an electrifying adventure that will leave you breathless. hang on. I am Dagius.
I've been going going with Dagus.
Dagus?
Dagus, but I really don't know.
Okay, well,
it could be Dagus.
I am Dingus McKelter.
Okay, his real name, listeners, is Dagus McKelter.
Okay, I will only refer to him as Dingus from now on.
Okay.
A man with one good conscience and 13 bad ones, driven to sate my darkest desires. From his penthouse lair above Manhattan, ooh, scary, Dagus looks out over a glittering city that calls to the darkness within him. A 16th century Scot trapped between worlds. He's fighting a losing battle with the 13 druids who possess his soul, dooming him to an eternity of sexual pursuit. When Chloe Zanders, student of antiquities, is drawn to his world, she finds the insatiable alpha male an irresistible lure. Before long, she's caught up in an ancient prophecy that will sweep her back into time, to medieval Scotland, plunging into a world of timeless magic and dark seduction. She will soon face the challenge of a lifetime, fighting 13 evil spirits for the heart of one irresistible man. Are you sure you didn't just have me read the entire fucking novel? Because holy shit.
I'm sorry.
Does that even fit on the back of the book? Like,
who was on Goodreads? I don't know, but.
Jesus.
Yeah, it was long. I'm sorry.
I already feel like I've gone on a roller coaster. It can only get better from here. So, brief recap. We have druids, Scotsmen from the 16th century. Time travel, and apparently also he has a flat in Manhattan. Cool.
Yeah. Why not? You know, fine.
Why? Hey, we have already tackled the time travel problem, so why stop there?
Okay, so, I'm gonna set a little background into this book because I read Kiss of the Highlander before I read this one.
Is this the second one?
I think it's the fifth one out of a series of seven is The Dark Highlander, and Kiss of the Highlander is four.
Okay, have you read 1 through 3?
No.
Okay, cool.
I've only read 4, 5, and I think 6.
Great.
So, I had 2 13-hour flights, so I had a lot of time on my hands. So, I read, like, 3 of these. So, the Kiss of the Highlander and the Dark Highlander is about the McKelter family in Scotland. They're from the 16th century, and it's about two twin brothers. Drustin, who's in Kiss of the Highlander. I know. The book, the name Drustin is just Drustin.
Drustin! That's the most Scottish, like...
Right?
Not even, like... I'm not even going to go into that.
The twins are Drustin and Dagus. They are not only like sexy Scottish men, they're sexy Scottish druid men, which basically gives them magical powers. Like, they have a little bit of mind manipulation, they can have healing powers. Like,
I know you said mind, I heard mime.
Mind.
A little bit of silent French.
thrown in there.
Silent Frenchman.
Right. So they have, like, a little bit of druid powers, but one of the things that their family was given is basically, imagine Stonehenge, but imagine Stonehenge where if you go stand in the middle of it and, like, put some symbols on the rocks, you could time travel. So.
Okay.
Those were given to them. It's called.
Is it a wand? Is one of the things they use a wand?
No. It's just the stone circle. So I can't
remember. Because I read another book that is not in any way related to this where that sort of happens also. So I'm intrigued.
This stone circle was given to the McKelters by
Morrigan?
The Fae Folk.
Oh.
No, the Fae Folk. Okay. Which is, they call it in this book, that I'm going to butcher the name, the Tuatha De Danann, but I don't know how
it's... Tuatha De Danann.
De Danann? Okay,
yeah,
that's
close.
How you... Okay,
I didn't know that one.
Well, that makes me feel better, because I was just going to call them the Fae Folk or the Fairy Folk, like,
you can
this
just,
whole
yeah,
time, whichever
right.
one.
I mean, bear in mind, that is Midwest Ohio accent, so
right.
maybe it's bullshit, but who knows?
So they're, like, fairy royalty, and they gave it to the McKelters, but they had one condition. They were like, you can't go back in time to save someone's life.
Okay.
Like, you can't do that. You can't change time to save someone's life. Well, Dagus is like, fuck that. My brother Drustin just died. I'm going back in time. And because he went back in time and saved Drustin's life, and because of that, these demons basically were unleashed, and they decided to make a nest in Dagus's soul. So...
Okay.
Dingus
is fitting right now. You dingus.
Well, his brother is like that too. He's
oh,
like,
great.
What the fuck? How could you do that? So now we're going into the Dark Highlander, and now I'm going to give you guys some trigger warnings.
Oh, right. Trigger warnings.
So,
yes.
The Dark Highlander contains lots of Stockholm Syndrome, again, unfortunately. It also contains a light dusting of sexual assault. But, like, I don't want you guys to think that it's like, oh, he rapes her. Well, no. I don't want to say that. I'm saying that, like, if you... Yeah.
It just gets close.
It's problematic. Exactly. So it's you know, it's hard because... Yeah.
Sprinkles on top of this poop cake.
Yes. So I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Not that I can think of off the top of my head. So I think we're good.
And if for some reason something pops up in the middle of this, we will go ahead and throw in a little bit of a, hey, just a warning, this is about to happen.
Right.
We care about you guys, just in case anything, you know, is not great. In we go.
So we first see, the first character we're introduced to is Dangus. I'm butchering that name probably.
Dangus,
whatever. So, and he is doing what he does best, which is
brooding.
Yes! I got it right! I'm so proud of you! Well, before I jump into the plot, I want it known that the author was very obviously binging on Buffy the Vampire Slayer while she was writing this book.
Fantastic.
Because in the first scene, Dangus compares himself to Angel, from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, that's playing up on his TV. And remember the last name? I just thought of this. The last name of the other main character is Chloe Xanders, as in the character Xander from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
No.
Yes.
Oh, no.
So I've never even watched it.
Me neither.
And I caught two.
Good crossover.
Okay, so he's been brooding. He's brooding and he's living in Manhattan and he's trying to find a way to get rid of the 13 demons inside of him.
Okay. I mean, as you do.
As you do. So the way that he does that is actually he does a lot of research. He's been quote unquote borrowing books from the Met and from local museums using his dark magic powers to get those books because they're like,
as you do,
priceless tomes.
Uh-huh.
And pretty much he's doing this, I want to know, because he doesn't want to go back in time to see his dad because he's too ashamed. His dad has all of these books, but he's too ashamed to go and see his dad.
Homeboy has daddy problems.
Homeboy has, like, I hate myself problems.
Oh boy.
And everybody else should too.
Homeboy needs a hug.
If Homeboy got a hug, he'd probably, like, make it more than a hug.
Oh no.
Yeah.
So
do you want to guess what keeps Dangus from completely going dark? And that's, like, releasing all the 13 demons and becoming fully evil.
Is it love?
No, it's fucking.
Nice!
So he's basically...
So yes and no.
He's basically, like, constantly either fucking, drinking, or eating. Because the demons live on indulgence. That's the way that I think of it.
Okay.
So the only way to keep them quiet that within him
is
indulgence.
Interesting, actually.
Yeah.
Like, it's still a little bit of the, like, this gives me an excuse to just indiscriminately do people. But, like...
Right.
It's interesting.
It's a little more interesting, and I will say this, like, he's not into, like, anybody who doesn't want to. He'll find, like, if he has a night or a day where he doesn't get any sex, which happens, I mean, it happens, he kind of is miserable, but he's like, I'm not going to be a monster.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of Dangus'
whole
thing. I'm going
to go eat an entire extra large pizza by myself.
Right, exactly. And then
monster.
do a bunch of push-ups. But
you were going to say cocaine.
Actually, though, he should. The demons were probably like, oh, what's this? I don't know if that would make it worse or better, but, like, in this fictional scenario, I guess it is indulgence, so maybe?
You know, I can't say I'm very experienced in this particular side of things, so I don't
know. I've
only
gotten up to 6 demons inside of me, and let me tell you, cocaine does nothing.
Alright.
Or maybe she gets a weed.
Yeah, chill the fuck out, homeboy.
he'd be too busy Batman brooding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a little bit of a Batman vibe to it.
Okay. So in the next scene, we're introduced to Chloe Xanders, and she's an antiquarian who works in the Met Cloisters.
Okay.
So basically where they keep all the old shit.
I don't know.
And she finds out that someone has made a huge donation to the Met because they want a book in return. So they basically want to take a book out of the library that is the Met if you have a ton of money.
Okay.
Yeah, so she's actually really pissed about this. She's like, they're gonna ruin it. They're gonna get, like, coffee stains all over it. And her boss is like, that's fine, just go.
Yeah, but money.
But money, exactly.
Yeah.
Actually, the It's Dagus who's getting the book out.
That's what I figured.
And he donates, like, a skiandu, which is, like, I'm not pronouncing that right, but it's, like, a blade, and it's, like, priceless.
Okay, I've heard it pronounced, like, shandu.
Shandu, maybe
but
it's
I
that.
But I don't.
I'm a monster. I'm not...
We're garbage people. We don't do pronunciations.
I am not cultured! So, apparently, though, there's been some sort of miscommunication, because when Chloe arrives at Dagus's building... Dagus is in a cab heading to the Met because he thinks he's going to pick up the book. And she's there dropping it off. So she goes up to his penthouse. And, so he sees her on the street. And he's like, damn, holy shit, she's hot. And this is the quote. His attention was caught by a lass who was stepping from a car at the curb in front of them. She was different, and it was the difference that drew his eye. She had none of the city's polish and was all the lovelier for it. Refreshingly tousled, delightfully free of the artifice with which modern women enhance their faces, she was a vision. I want to note that if he's holding my sexy, bright green sweatshirt and no makeup, he'd be into it.
Like,
damn! But yeah, you were just looking at the floor, despondent.
God.
Yeah.
That was my guttural reaction to the use of the word lass in a this is third person, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you can hear it's third person omniscient, so like you can hear all of their thoughts. So like that's and he calls her lass. Like,
okay,
all
so
the
it's
time.
Him saying lass.
He actually calls her sweet all the time, which I'm kinda like, ugh. So Dagus leaves in the cab and she goes up to the penthouse though, because she thinks that he's up there. And she walks, so she actually like tries the door and the door is unlocked, so she's like, I'm not just going to leave it here because he's gone. And this is a priceless thing to her. So she walks in and she's like, oh my God. Because there's so many antiques in there. And she's like crazy about antiques. And it's Scottish antiques in particular. So she's like wandering around his apartment. Like, ooh, look at that. Ooh, look at that. Ooh, look at that. Ooh, look at that bed. Because she ends up, of course, in his bedroom.
You know, it gets my juices flowing. A little bit of light beanie. Oh, a little bit of light breaking and entering.
Well, so, like, she's in his bedroom, and she notices that, like, there are silk ties on the bedposts, and she's like, oh, please, get into that kinky shit.
Okay.
And, so she's, like, looking in his room, though, because now she's kind of curious about him. She's like, who the hell has all of these Scottish antiques, but wants this, you know, compared to all the stuff that it's in his apartment, the thing that she has is worthless. Mm-hmm. So she's looking around, and she looks under the bed, and she's like, huh. Well, she sees something under the bed, and she's like, huh, that's weird. And she looks under there, and there are a bunch of books that he has hidden under his bed, because they're the stolen books. And she's like, damn it.
That is the foolproof hiding place.
I know!
I just stole all these books from priceless books from a museum. I'm gonna put them under my bed.
Well, it's like, you have a whole penthouse, and you're gonna leave these books under your bed that you wouldn't know what to talk about? And also, there's condom wrappers under the bed. There's also women's underwear under the bed. So, like, you're not concerned that anyone's gonna see it? You're bringing women up there all the time!
I mean, also, maybe hiding a bunch of priceless books around a bunch of, like, trash and panties isn't the best idea?
Well, that's what Chloe thinks. She's like, you can't have all these under here. So she's, like, under the bed, like, fully under the bed, trying to pull them out, when suddenly she hears... I've not yet tried it beneath the bed, lass, but if 'tis your preference, and the rest of you is as lovely as what I'm seeing, I might be persuaded to oblige.
It's written phonetically!
Yes.
I love it when that happens, because it's so ridiculous in my mind. Awesome.
Okay, so Dagus pulls...
That is a hell amount of sass, and I love it.
I will say this about him... I dig him. Give me a tortured hero any day. I am a monster for a tortured hero. Like, Harry Dresden kind of shit? Oh my god, monster. Oh, Harry Dresden, Winter Soldier, monster. Like, love them both. Okay, so Dagus pulls Chloe by the leg out from under the bed. And she at first pretends that she's the cleaning crew, and then he's like, literally, I just saw your boss. I know who the fuck you are.
Like, smooth.
Really. And she's like, shit. So now, but he's also kind of like, shit, because he's like, I can't let her go, because she knows about these books now. She knows that I stole them. So.
Oh, no.
He's huge, and she's tiny. So he literally backs her up onto the bed so that she falls back onto the bed, and she's like blabbling, like, I won't tell anyone, please don't hurt me, And, you know, what do you do in that scenario to make someone feel calmer?
I'm going to take one solid whack at this and say he uses the silk ties on the bed to tie her to the bed.
Well, first, he kisses her to distract her, and she digs it.
There are so many better ways to... Well, no, I gotta admit, there's better ways. Probably very effective.
It's if she's attracted to you, then yeah, it's very effective.
I would have punched him in the throat.
Well, she doesn't. She doesn't. Okay, she doesn't. Yeah. So okay. But then he's distracting her with his lips and his body, which his body is on top of hers, and he ties her to the bed.
There it is.
So now she's stuck.
I wasn't that far off.
No, you were not.
Ding, 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 I am 2 for 2.
So, basically, he keeps her tied to the bed for probably a few days. No, not like a few days, but like on and off. Like, he's like, do you want to eat something? Do you need to use the bathroom? That kind of stuff. Yeah, for like a couple days.
What?
Yeah, like
Does no one days. Notice she's missing?
No, and they go over that in the book. No, because they're like, oh, it's New York City. No one will notice that one girl is missing.
She has a job and family.
She does not have family.
Oh, of course, they never do.
She's a tragic backstory.
Of course, they never have family.
Her parents died in a car wreck, and her granddad died when she was a sophomore in college, I think. So she has no family. Okay. Tragic backstory.
All right. Okay. Okay.
So...
Wait. Friends and listeners. If someone catches you doing some shady shit... Don't tie them to the bed and leave them there for several days, please. It's common courtesy. All right!
Well, so he does... So eventually she agrees to help him find in the books whatever he's looking for, because she speaks several languages as well, so she can decipher them.
Okay, and he can't?
He can, but it's better to have two than one.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, at one point, like, I think at the end of the second day, he's like, I can't just keep her tied up. Like, this is inhumane. I can't keep doing this.
Well, you don't say.
Yeah, so, like, but it's also, like, a kink thing, because he really, 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 really digs her.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
And we know how his demons...
So she agrees to help him, basically, so that she can get out of there faster. And, but at one point, he, like, tries to seduce her, and she's very, like, taken aback, because... She's really into it, but she's also like, I know this guy is, like, a womanizer and is gonna, like, has fucked
And also, tie me to the fucking bed for 2 days!
Right, okay, but, if, like, in her mind, that's what she's thinking, so she doesn't want to get involved with him. So she goes into the study, and she sees a sword on the wall, and she's like,
I could stab this motherfucker!
Exactly, so she takes the sword off of the wall, and she comes out with it, and she's like, let me go. And he's like, no, and he backs her up against the wall, and he says, you can cut your way through me, or you can stay here of your own will. Own will, quote unquote.
Someone needs to give this dude, in all of those books that he's stolen, he has not stolen a fucking dictionary to let him know what free will means. Because that ain't it.
That's not the exact line, but like that's the connotation. Right.
That's
so,
not...
But he also tells her, what he really tells her is, if you stay, I'll give you that sword. And it's priceless. So she's gonna make a profit if she turn
okay,
a profit if she
all right.
stays.
Well, that's fair.
But Dagus is over that day or 2 days, Dagus is constantly trying to tempt Chloe to have sex with him, and she refuses him as she's terrified of him. And he wants to get in her pants, literally to silence the demons. I can't believe I can say that. Silence the demons that live inside
him. Demons.
and also because he's crazy about her more than he's been with anybody else. So, but. Da da da! In a cutaway scene, we get two men talking who have a plan. They're gonna kill Chloe to get in, and then in Chloe's apartment and stage it so that it looks like Dagus killed her, so that they can pin the crime on Dagus and then force him to use his powers to release the demons inside him. So basically, these two men want the demons inside him to be unleashed.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is a little bit of like like Pink Panther vibe of like I just imagine them in a dark room twirling their mustaches maniacally.
Yeah, like trench coats. Absolutely.
Yep.
So either that evening or the next evening, Dagus admits to Chloe that his plan is to break a powerful dark curse. He finally tells her that, and that he's a time traveling druid.
Okay, how'd that go over?
It does not go over well. Okay. She's like, I do not believe you. And he tells Chloe, though, that he's returning to Scotland in order to break the curse. And she's, like, really sad because she's like, oh, this adventure is kind of ending. Like, I was actually, this was really cool. I've been having a good time with this dude and he's really hot. And then he gets she's sitting on the couch and he gets down on his knees in front of her and it begs her to come with him. He's like, please don't leave me. Come with me.
Okay.
And he says, I will give you anything in this apartment that you want. Any of the priceless artifacts in this apartment that you want if you will come with me.
Okay.
And he's like, we'll put it in a safe deposit box under your name. So that when you get back, it'll be ready for you.
Okay.
So he's like, he's really trying to get her to go. And she wants the artifacts, obviously, but she's also always dreamed of going to Scotland. Like, it's her big thing.
So I do have one question.
Yes.
Is he immortal? Or did he travel to...
He time traveled to Manhattan.
So, I have questions.
Okay. I'm sure you do.
How long has he been in Manhattan? How did he get a fortune? How the fuck does he know what a goddamn car is?
I think he's been in Manhattan for a while. I don't know how long. At the end of The Kiss of the Highlander, there's a little bit of explanation into that, but it's not much. He got the money from all the antiques that he had
because he knew where they were.
He brought them with him, or he like hid them in a cave so that once he time traveled to Manhattan, he would know where they were and like uncover them.
Because he has a perfect understanding of how capitalism works in terms of the United States and was able to adapt.
Apparently, I don't know. And also remember, he shares the knowledge of those 13 demons that are living inside him.
Okay, so, but if they're from the 16th century, I'm sorry.
I don't know. You have questions that I can't answer.
Let me go back to the potatoes on Mars. I'm just going to grasp onto my suspension of disbelief and not let go.
So, she, in that arrangement, she makes it very clear to him, like, sex is not part of this arrangement, if I go. And he's like, I don't want sex to be part of the arrangement. I want to seduce you. And
I didn't say like, yes, sex, you said sex. No, I didn't say that.
Exactly.
I'm not crying, you're crying.
So, oh my god. So, she agrees, though. She says, okay, I'll go to Scotland with you to help you find whatever it is you're looking for. But that's the only reason I'm going. And he's like, fine. And they shake hands and he turns her hand over and kisses it. Your eye roll.
I think I just rolled my eyes so hard that they went up a little bit into my head.
My favorite phrase is, I just roll my eyes into the sunset.
That's good.
So she goes to bed untied that night. Which is great. But he does sleep outside the door.
Okay.
So he leaves that morning to go run some errands. Like, he needs to go get her passport, etc., etc. And while he's gone, this guy shows up.
He even get fake, like, documentation?
No. It's not... Well, that's true. His fake documentation?
Yeah.
He probably paid a shit ton of money for it. You can pay a shit ton of money and get documentation.
How does he know what a legal representative is?
I don't... No.
What?
I'm so sorry. I don't. Oh, you know what? I do know part of that. Because they do have, and technically, they're the ancestors of people who still live in Scotland and have been told
all
this stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
They show up on these people's property.
Okay.
And in the last book. So in the last book, Drustin took a 500-year power nap to get back to his true love. Yeah, it's Sleepy Beauty-esque.
Okay.
Yeah, and when he wakes up.
Power nap.
Yeah. So when he wakes up, he ends up in his... Technically, he's their ancestor's house.
Okay.
So that's where he wakes up. So, like, the people who live in that house have been told the stories for generations upon generations.
It's gonna be really awkward for the people that live there for 500 years, having to be real quiet around the house, making sure they didn't wake up the dude in the...
It's an enchanted sleep. Honestly.
Okay, so they're just banging around pots and pans in the kitchen.
It's more like they had to hide this body for 500 years.
I'm imagining it's like a Sleeping Beauty glass coffin kind of deal with just a tablecloth over top of it, and they're using it as a kitchen table.
It's like Rocky Horror with Eddie in the...
Yes.
Well, so, like, that's, but they, so they do have people who have lived in the modern era.
Okay,
so
all right.
That makes a little more sense.
Better-ish,
but not that great. So, anyway, so there's this guy who shows up at Degas's apartment while Chloe is there alone. And Chloe tells him Degas isn't going to be back for another hour because that's who the guy, Giles Jones, another Buffy reference.
Awesome.
Giles Jones says, I'm looking for Dagus, and she says he's not going to be back for an hour. And then he goes into full murder mode. So he pulls out a knife, starts trying, like, attacking her. And I have to give her credit. She fights back really hard. She whacks the guy with a full bottle of wine.
Nice.
And then she kicks him in the balls. Like, nice. She does a good job. So by the time, it gives Dagus enough time to, like, make a heroic return.
Naturally.
Yeah. And he...
Gaston his way into the room and save her.
Sort of, actually. Well, so the Giles Jones sees Dagus and it's like, oh my god. Like, he actually kind of gets this worshipful look on his face, which is very strange.
Creepy.
And Dagus gets pissed immediately, obviously. And, but the guy says, may I serve the Draugr, which I'm also Draugr or something like that, with my death as I failed with my life. And then he jumps headfirst out of the apartment onto the pavement below.
Peace him out!
Exactly.
Oh.
So Dagus cleans and heals the little cuts that Chloe's managed to get. He's actually kind of like, it's described weirdly because he kind of pulls off her clothes very like get them off, because he wants to make sure that she's not hurt.
Uh-huh.
Because he sees all that red wine all over.
Right. So because, you know, red wine on clothes looks exactly like blood.
Exactly. Okay. So before I go into the next part, have you seen that video yet online of the girl and the guy in the airplane bathroom?
No.
So basically it's insinuated that they were fucking in the airplane bathroom, and this other guy's kind of holding up the phone and going like, oh, like, way to go, dude.
Mile High Club.
Exactly. Well, I want it known that Dagus gets Chloe off twice on the airplane without taking off one article of clothing, and they are not in the airplane bathroom.
They just have a blanket between them?
He puts a blanket over her, but that's it, and then he's just using his hands.
Okay.
Yep, yep. So that happens. That's their first sexual encounter.
That... there's a lot of reasons why that's not okay. A good
idea. Well, he also says after he does that, he's like, he was like super close to just like making everybody on the plane take a little nap so that they could just like...
Do it.
Do it.
That's, first of all, every of my nightmares when traveling is having to elbow someone because they tried to do something terrible. Right. Also, that makes it really hard to say no.
Yeah, that's
and that's
very true.
Not okay.
That's, yeah, like, that's very true.
I'm assuming she's into it.
Oh, very into it.
Okay.
He asks for permission first. He's like, can we do this? And she gets really into it. She's kinky too.
Okay.
She's kinky too.
That's fine.
So, it's not great, but it's fine. Because at one point, he's like, if you don't stop me now, we're not stopping. And then later on, she gets a little nervous. And he's like, no, we're not stopping. So.
Yeah.
Problematic. Yeah.
Oh, man.
But they make it to London.
Oh, good. They at least make it there.
They make it there. They head to Dagus's brother, Drustin's house, who we've already talked about. And Dagus is terrified to see his brother. Drustin couldn't be happier to see him.
Okay.
So that's, you know, because, like, Dagus always thought that everybody would hate him because he took on these 13 demons. But Drustin's like, you saved my life to do it. Why would I be angry at you?
Right, yeah.
And Chloe meets Drustin's wife, Gwen, who's pregnant with Drustin's twins. So she's, like, hella big.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's hella big right now. And these characters, Gwen, kind of have, like, a heart-to-heart. And Gwen is like, you're definitely fucking Dagus, aren't you? And she's like, no! No, I'm not! Well, maybe on the planet, I don't know!
Okay.
Okay. So, Chloe...
Guys, don't finger fuck strangers on a plane. That's not... It's rude.
It's not rude. Well, they aren't strangers.
Well,
but
yeah.
Don't do it. It's not good. Don't do anything sexual on a plane. Those things are disgusting. Airplanes are disgusting.
Also, it's just uncomfortable for everyone involved.
Yeah. So, and also, poor Chloe. She's got to be exhausted.
Yeah.
Like, she was attacked.
God, jet lag's a bitch.
She was attacked yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Like, the adrenaline will take it out of you. Then she's finger fucked on the plane. And then she has to deal with jet lag.
Yeah, that's not a good time.
No good, no bueno. So after Chloe goes to bed, Gwen, Drustin, and Dagus have a heart-to-heart, and they basically all decide, okay, yeah, you have to go back in time, and you have to go see Drustin and Dagus' dad, Sylvan, to get see those texts and see if they'll tell you anything about getting rid of these demons
mm-hmm.
inside of you.
Because, of course, his name is Sylvan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Wait, what's Sylvan?
Sylvan is like Fae.
Oh my god.
Literally means like Fae.
Oh my
or
god.
Or if you want to be a little more modern with it, Sylvan Learning Center.
Oh, I hated that place. I had to go to that
did
place.
You?
I hated it.
Well, I never did.
I sucked at math. I hated Sylvan Learning Center. God, it was the worst. So the next day...
This podcast is not supported by Sylvan Learning Center.
No, actually sponsor us. I love Sylvan Learning Center.
You sell out.
So the next day, they kind of all go on a morning adventure together.
Okay.
And they kind of go around Scotland. But then in the afternoon, they go head back to the house, and Dagus starts doing something with the stones that are there. So he's getting ready to, like, send Dagus and himself and Chloe back in time. And Chloe and Gwen kind of have a heart-to-heart, and Gwen is not a good friend. Let me just put it out there right now. Because Gwen is, like, pushing Chloe into Dagus' arms. Like, just, like... Do it. Go with him.
She's the bad advice bear.
She's horrible. And it's like, she's like a molecular physicist too. And she's just like, she was better in her first book, but she's so annoying in this one. Because she's like, she's very much kind of like, everything's wonderful and I have my true love and now I'm pregnant with this baby.
Which is my only goal in life because I'm a woman.
Right, exactly. And so that's what she thinks. It's just annoying. So she's pushing Chloe at Dagus, and she tells her, you need to take a leap of faith with Dagus, and just whatever he tells you to do, go with him. Go with it. Okay, great. Thank you, best friend. Thank you so much.
No. Question everything. Always.
Literally. So, Chloe goes to join Dagus in the circle, and she's like, what are you doing? Because he's painting the stones, and Dagus tells Chloe, I'm leaving, and I want you to come with me. And she's like, where are you going? There's no car.
Okay.
and he's like, I'm going and I want you to come with me and I'm asking you to take another leap of faith with me. I know that's hard. And she's like...
He's racking up debts.
Yeah, okay. She's going.
Okay.
And he's like, he says, you'll come without knowing where I'm taking you. And Chloe says, if you think I've come this far to be dumped along the wayside, you don't know me very well, McKeltar. I'm the woman who snooped beneath your bed, remember? I'm slave to my curiosity. If you're going somewhere, I am too. You're not getting away from me yet.
All right. She's known him for what, 3 days? Four?
Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
So this is, guess what time it is?
Time travel?
Rachel's Science Corner!
Awesome. So I will say, we had a minor discussion about this before, in the form of, I am an engineer. I like science a lot. So Margie told me time travel, and that's about it, and asked if I would be able to maybe talk about it a little bit. So go ahead and describe it, and right. I'll see what I can do.
Okay, so, and to see if this is, like, accurate at all, you know what I mean?
Well, there's a lot,
to unpack.
Well, there's a lot of science.
Okay, here we go. Ahead. Ready? So this is the text of them, of Dagus and Chloe traveling back in time. A terrible gravity seemed to be pulling at her, sucking her in and stretching her out, bending her in impossible ways. She thought she heard a sonic boom, and then suddenly there was a flash of white so blinding that she lost all sense of sight and sound. She could no longer feel Dagus's hand. She could no longer feel her own hand. She tried to open her mouth and scream, but she had no mouth to open. The white grew ever more intense, and though there was no longer any sense of motion, she felt nauseating vertigo. There was no sound, but the silence itself seemed to have crushing substance. Just when she was certain she couldn't endure it one more instant, the white was gone so abruptly that the blackness slammed into her with all the force of a Mack truck.
Okay. So, it's time for special relativity for dummies. As far as descriptions of how actually going in back in time would feel, I don't know either. Although it was kind of funny, it's sonic boom and then silence.
Yeah.
So, like, you wouldn't hear anything, even if we somehow assume that it is in any way possible, because you're moving at the speed of light. Mm-hmm. Like, light moves faster than sound. You would hear nothing. In space, no one can hear you scream. but the biggest problem with time travel is that you're not just traveling in time. The Earth and Sun are constantly moving. Even if somehow you were able to travel back in time, you would end up...
Out in space.
Out in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Okay.
You would be, like, millions of miles away from the Earth if you went back in time.
Because the Earth and the Sun are not in the same position.
No, they're flying through space.
When you left.
Yeah, well, and not even just, like, the Earth rotating the Sun, but, like, we are all flying through space super fast.
Okay.
So, like... There's no way you would be anywhere close to Earth if you went back in time. So that's, like, a real big problem. But the other thing is, so the theory of time travel, and I'll try to kind of bring this down a little bit, it's all relative. So this is whole relativity and all of that thing. Things move in different times based on the speed that they're going. Like, time is relative to the speed that you're traveling. So, for instance, and my favorite description of this is, you know, we've never officially proven relativity, right? It's still technically a theory, quote-unquote.
Mm-hmm.
But with navigation satellites, GPS satellites, if we don't correct for relativity in the timing of the clocks on those satellites, they don't work. So we've never proven relativity, but you have to use relativity for something like that to work. So, like, if someone's moving away from the Earth at close to the speed of light, time is going to move differently for them than it would for us on Earth.
Right. Okay, that's kind of
weird. We're going to age a lot. The people on Earth would age a lot faster than the people traveling.
That's Interstellar.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, long story short, time travel is not possible. You would not hear anything even if you were going back in time. And if they somehow managed to pop back out in the 16th century, they would also be a couple million miles away from Earth and die in about 30 seconds. Assuming they had a full breath of air.
But you forgot to include one thing.
What's that?
Druid magic.
Oh, shit! I knew I forgot to put that constant into my equation. God.
God damn it. So...
Okay, so... We'll end Rachel's science corner with me head in hands, just, okay.
So they get there. So Chloe passes out when she hits the ground when they arrive. Of course she does.
But she's in the middle of space. She can't breathe. Wait. God damn it.
Okay, so, but wakes up to find Dagus kind of, like, looking very off and just looking very, like, rigid and uncomfortable. And she's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And it's because he's used his so much of his magic. Like, all the demons are, like, wanting to...
He needs to fuck!
He needs literally what happens. So he tells her, I will give you every artifact I own if you kiss me and ask no questions. And she's like, what the fuck is happening?
Okay.
Okay. So they do. They get it on. Like, he pushes her up against the rocks, one of the rocks, and they're, like, really getting into it to the point where, like, she's like, all right, I'm ready. Let's do this. Like, we're gonna fuck. And he pulls out his penis, and she can't close her hand around it. It's so big.
Oh, no.
That seems very big. That seems like, oh, I was doing this, like, looking like I was holding a telescope, like, trying to figure out, okay, how big is that?
I mean...
Her whole hand.
Whole hand, like...
Her whole hand won't fit around it, so I'm imagining, like, she's kind of scooping it up, holding it like this, or holding it like this. The average penis diameter.
You looked it up? Yes!
It's an inch and a half. So is this, like, cup your hand, like, so imagine cupping your hand into the shape of a C. Is this an inch and a half?
I love you for that. The scientist in me loves you for that.
Okay, so I think that sounds awfully big to me, though, and I think that's what the author was going for.
It's not the size of the ship, it's the motion of the ocean.
Right, so... They don't fuck because Sylvan shows up, his Dagus' dad, and is like, I think
Come
she's
on,
ready.
Come on, dude! Get out of my room!
Literally. Dagus is pissed. He's so mad. But, like, so we're gonna kind of, like, time travel ourselves.
13 druids worth of blue balls going on right now.
Literally. So we are gonna time travel a bit ourselves because the next, like, lot of the book is not important.
Okay, great.
The only thing that happens that's really important is that they do have sex for the first time.
Great.
And he literally rides her out on a horse to a field and is like, we're doing it. And they do it very rough.
Okay.
It's hot. It's good, but it's, and I found my new favorite. Oh. What?
She better not get any sort of infection, because in 16th century,
she does not.
She has the her life expectancy dropped like 40 years when she went back in time. Hope she doesn't have kids.
Well, she also is immunized, though, so she is going to get a lot less of those diseases that were prevalent back then, right?
But she's going to bring so many back with her.
Yeah, okay, we're not going into that. We do not have
the
time.
The pilgrims and Christopher Columbus all over again.
Well, there's this awkward moment, though, where she's like, it's not going to fit. it's not gonna fit. And they, like, make it work. But it's very, like, oh boy, this is not. Oh boy.
Oh no.
And I found my new least favorite phrase.
Is it worse than she thing? Because she, you know, she thing is my pet peeve.
I don't think it's that bad. It's okay. Virgin barrier.
All right.
Guys, a hymen is not a barrier. It stretches. Like, it's not a thing. It stretches. It's not like, it's not like a piece of paper that you have to punch through or something, okay? It's not how it works. I'm so mad at that.
Falcon punch your way into it.
That's what he does. Oh god. There goes your pussy.
Oh no.
Yeah, so that's like, my least favorite
that's
one.
That's like the complete aversion to using scientific terms when referring to like penis and vagina. It's like they are objects on a body that everyone, I would say virtually everyone has, because, I don't know, I'm sure there's some exceptions, but if you don't have one, that's a problem. Right. Everyone has one, you can say the word.
Yeah.
It's a science word. Hymen is a science word.
He may not have had it, because he's from the 16th century.
Yeah.
But he should know, actually, though, he was
Wait, did he say that out loud?
No, he did say it out loud. He said that he felt himself, like, go through it.
Just say hymen. It's not, maybe not as sexy, so virgin. But virgin barrier virgin is a lot less sexy than hymen.
Oh, God.
Great. Okay, oh, I'd like to give a brief hello to all the people at work, all the dudes at work that said they were going to listen to this. Sup, guys? See you Monday.
Oh, God. They go to the past, but Sylvan basically is like, why are you here? I sent all of that stuff to the future already. So there's literally no reason for them to go to the past. It's so annoying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, she can check 16th century sex off of her bucket list.
Right.
Off of her fuck it list, if you will.
Well, so basically they go there to lose her virginity, I don't know, and they do declare their love to each other. He's like, so they have sex under the moonlight. Out in the field again.
They've known each other for a week at this point, haven't they?
Yes.
Called it.
Well, so he's like, and he's holding her in his arms, and she's sort of asleep, and he's thinking to himself, I'm gonna marry this bitch right this fucking second. That's what you do.
Sure.
So he completes his half of the druid ritual. So while she's asleep, he says, if aught must be lost, 'twill be my honor for yours. If one must be forsaken, 'twill be my soul for yours. Should death come anon, 'twill be my life for yours. I am given. And so then there's like this magical thing that happens where like his soul is like starting to merge with her. So he's basically promised to her. He's not going to like fuck anyone else.
I know, you know, I know you're hella single. Maybe you don't have as many experiences, but I love you. But I can tell you, it's very common that almost everyone in a romantic relationship is totally down to get married within the first 3 days. You know immediately. When I met Zach, definitely within the first week, I was like, I'm going to marry him even though I'm 16 and definitely don't think boys are so gross.
I can't believe it. At first I couldn't tell if you were being facetious or serious. And I was like, I'm very concerned about your relationship now.
I take that as a compliment to my deadpan delivery skills. Perfect.
Yes. Okay. So, and she's like, so in the scene, Chloe wants to repeat it back to him because she's like, oh, that sounds really pretty. Let me repeat it. And he's like, no, because he's worried that if she repeats it back to him and he goes full dark, then she's going to be like tied to these 13 demons that are also inside him.
He opened that can of worms. It's all on him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's totally his fault.
He's a dingus.
He's totally a dingus. So she actually, the way she declares her love is very funny. So she gets really nervous. So she gets very nervous to tell him she loves him. So she practices in front of a shield and is like, I love you. I love you. And it's like practicing like by looking, which wouldn't help me at all.
I have a 1,000-yard stare right now. We should put a glossary of our facial expressions on the website so that we can be
Bless you, bless you, bless you.
Oh, goodness.
So many.
So many kitty sneezes.
So
this is Carlos Danger. He's a little bit experienced in the romance side of things.
Yes,
so
yes. Only because he's
heard
our
expert.
Yes. Yeah. So, so Dagus, of course, sneaks up behind her doing this and says, "You can have the confounded shield if you like it that much less." Because he's very confused. And she gets really pissed. She's like, "I was practicing trying to tell you and I loved you and you ruined it." And then she runs away. And so he chases after her and grabs her skirt and it rips down the back. And so her ass is exposed. 10 out of 10. Good job, guys.
This is just a comedy of errors.
So finally, though, Dagus does tell Chloe about his curse, why he has it, and what he thinks that they should do about it, which is go back to the modern day and try to find the people who attacked her, because the people who attacked Chloe basically worship the 13 demons that are inside of him. And they want them to be released because they know that because they believe that it's going to start off the end of the world. So they get back and Dagus does the one thing that you said you should never do. He does not communicate. So he knows that the bad people are in London. So he tries to go off to London by himself, but they kidnap him halfway and they take him there anyway.
Okay.
And he's like, "I was coming to meet you anyway. Like, let's do this. Like, let's do a showdown. How do I get rid of these things?" And they're like, "Not so fast." And they bring out Chloe, of course. So Chloe's been kidnapped too.
Duh.
So they basically tell him, like, you can either release all the demons and start the end of the world in order to not have us not kill your girlfriend, or we kill your girlfriend. And then what are you going to do? And he's like, "Well, if you kill my girlfriend, I'm going to release the demons anyway because I'll be so pissed. I won't be able to withhold
them." That's not the thing you tell them.
Well, he doesn't tell them that, but he's thinking that in his mind.
Right.
So he makes it so that Chloe can't see or hear, and then he releases the demons. And they're just all, yeah. And so when she, you know, when her vision and her hearing are restored, she looks around, everybody's gone, and the room is covered in blood. And she's like, "I'm fucked."
Did you watch Community much?
No.
Okay. There's an episode of Community where they go into the different timelines, and the darkest timeline is where one dude's like, "I'm gonna go get the pizza from downstairs, don't do anything when I'm gone!"
Yes, I've seen that!
Comes back!
I love that actor.
What happened? Yeah.
Donald Glover's amazing, too.
Donald Glover's fantastic,
His stand-up weirdo is, like, one of my favorite ones.
Yeah. So that's the vibe I get from that.
Yeah, exactly. Chloe wakes up, poor thing, and she's all alone in London, so she calls Gwen and Drewston, and they come and get her in London, and although they don't want to admit it, they're all kind of like, Dagus is probably dead, like, because nobody's heard from him.
Right.
And Gwen wants Chloe to stay with them. She's like, "Stay for a few weeks, you know, you're really upset.
It's the end of the world anyway, who cares?"
Yeah, and, what they think happened is that Dagus killed himself.
Okay.
So that the demons inside him would die or something like that, basically.
Right.
And so he would sacrifice himself to save Chloe and the world. So that's what they think happened. They just don't have the body to prove it.
Right.
So Gwen tells Chloe, like, "Stay with us." But, like, every time poor Chloe looks at Drewston, he looks dead on like Dagus.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, like, breaks her heart. And so she's like, "No, I gotta go back to New York. I gotta get back to my life. I gotta try to feel good about this.
The job that I've just left for the past month and haven't said anything to anybody about."
She did send an email.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
So she goes back to New York and she goes to the safe deposit box that they set up with their artifacts in it. And she finds a letter. And the letter is from Dagus before they left for Scotland.
If you're reading this, I'm probably dead.
Exactly!
Hell
dead
yeah.
On! Dead on. And so he's like, "I would never leave you. I love you. I'm so sorry." And so she has that, and then she goes back to his penthouse, because the penthouse is now completely hers. He signed it over to her before he left.
Neat.
And she's really, really sad, of course. And so she hears somebody try to break through the door, and she's like, "That bastard, who could do this to me in my lowest point?" She's been really pathetic too. I'm sorry for losing her boyfriend. And I guess I shouldn't say that. It would be a horrible thing. But somebody comes through the door, she puts the sword under the person's neck, and guess who it is? Dagus, boyfriend.
Dagus.
And he's like, "Please put down the sword," and she freaks out, like, they have a moment. So Dagus explains that the Fae folk basically felt sorry for him and were like, "You were willing to risk your life to save the world. We give you some
armor, Batman.
So we're going to heal the wound that you had in your chest where you stabbed yourself.
Okay.
And then we'll take you back to your girlfriend." And so only a few hours have passed for Dagus, but weeks have passed for Chloe.
Okay.
Basically. And she's like, never, ever, ever leave me again. And then they live happily ever after. I also wanted one little plot point I missed was when Chloe meets up with Gwen, immediately Gwen is like, we're going to get you a pregnancy test. Because she's like, maybe you'll be happy like me and find out that although your boyfriend is dead, you're pregnant. Which is the worst possible thing that could happen in my mind.
Yeah, that's...
She's the worst friend!
Oh, boy. Okay.
Because that's what happened to Gwen. She thought that Drustin was dead.
But she had babies.
But she had his bait, but she knew she was pregnant.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
yeah, so that's the end. The end.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's so much. There's a lot to unpack there.
There's like a lot. I feel like every time I do one of these when I'm reading it, I'm more fine with it. But then I tell it to you and I'm like, wait, this is very wrong.
Uh-huh.
There's so many. Like, I knew that Gwen was a bad friend. I knew the things that
just
that
because
Dagus
shit's
did.
Wrong doesn't mean it can't be entertaining. But it's still real wrong.
It's still really wrong.
Okay, so now that Margie went over the summary of the book, we are going to go take a little bit of a deep dive, and again, our word is unpack.
Yeah, unpack.
The characters and a little bit of the story, and talk about maybe why it's so great or terrible.
I mean, so, I didn't mind this book, maybe because, like I said, the last one was so bad.
The first one
that I read was so bad. But, I mean, it's not great. That doesn't make it great. You know, the things that he does are not okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I do tend to fall for like the tragic backstory, sure, dark hero character. So Dagus is like moth to flame. So, and I think that's why I let him get away with a lot of stuff. But I liked reading him because he's trying so hard to be a good person. I find it like, I was kind of like, he's self-aware. He's very self-aware, okay, that there are things wrong with him and he wants to try to fix them.
He doesn't just feel sorry for himself about...
Yeah,
oh, I'm
exactly
a victim.
Yes, he does not... He does sometimes, but most of the time he's more just kind of like, I can't believe I'm such a big fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Like, because I did this. Chloe, I thought she was very... The word I would use to describe her is cute. And not cute in like an annoying way, cute in kind of like an endearing way. Where like, okay, she gets so excited about things, it's hard not to get excited with her. Like, she gets so excited seeing all... going to 16th century, and she gets excited, like, seeing all the antiques. Like, she's passionate, and mm-hmm, I liked that about her. She's also aware about other people, so, like, when she meets Dagus, she's like, I'm really attracted to you, but, like, that doesn't mean it's a good idea to pursue anything with you.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, and Dagus is kind of like, you do do some bad shit, dude.
Yeah, there's some... on a plane, really?
Yeah, yeah, like, are you that... desperate.
That's a long flight to be awkwardly stuck in a flying tin can with other people. Also, yeah, if he has that much money, why didn't he just get, like, a private jet?
Seriously, though. I mean, I'm assuming that they were in first class, but that's also never described, so they could have been a coach.
Oh, God. That's so creepy.
Like, I know that she had a window seat. That's the only description that I've got.
So creepy.
Yeah. So, the plot, I'm kind of like... Okay. The fact that they went back in time for almost no reason was pretty dumb. I think that she wanted that plot point, but I think you could have reached for it in other ways, in better ways.
Right. Time travel for me is always really sticky when it comes to, like, books in general, because it either mm-hmm. has to be done really well, or again, to be fair, I have a little bit of the science brain that tends to overanalyze shit like that.
Yeah.
And I'm all on board for, you know, suspension of disbelief to an extent. But there is a point where I'm like,
It wasn't Atlantis?
You know? You know? That's fair. Hey, you warned me about that one, though. I was able to mentally prepare myself to hold on.
I guess I don't really have I think that time travel... I like historical stuff.
Yeah,
so
yeah. I like historical stuff,
time travel in that
too.
Sense is kind of fun. But it's also, it is also, like, I think that because I'm not a science brain, I can kind of hold on to my suspension of disbelief more easily.
Right.
But I didn't like it because it didn't really have a plot point. They were basically there just to bang.
Right.
And I honestly liked Dagus more in his penthouse apartment. I thought that was cooler in a way than them going all back in time.
I think that's, so I tend to not go for, modern fantasy as much. To an extent I do. Mm-hmm. I do enjoy modern fantasy, but like, I think a big reason why I don't jump on it is because of that, like, it's harder for me to hold on to the suspension of disbelief when it's put in a modern setting.
Right.
Because basically the only description you can have is, ooh, magic.
Yeah. So the main male character, Dagus, I think you're going to think that I'm rating him low. I'm going to give him a 5, just because he's not...
Out of 5.
Oh, it's out of 5?
Yeah, we've been doing out of 5.
Dang it. Okay, I'm going to give him a 3.
2.5, 3? 2.5, 3,
because, like, I think that I'm, like I said, I'm letting him get away with a lot of things because he's my type. So that's I'm going to give him a 3.
Yeah, there's a couple spots in there where it's like, homeboy, hands to yourself.
Yeah.
No means no.
No means no, but he's also got 13 demons inside of him telling him to do it. So, if we're going to take that into account...
Just 13 Emperor Palpatine. Do it.
Wait, let me try that. Do it.
Do it. That was better.
God, Emperor Palpatine is a demon.
13 of them. 13. Oh no. Just all wearing different colored robes.
Oh, but with the hood up. Uh-huh. Talking to each other. Oh my God. Okay, so I'm going to give him a 3 out of 5. I'm going to give Chloe a 4 out of 5. Because I think that she was like a pretty dynamic character for a romance novel.
Right.
Maybe 3 out of 5. If 2.5 to 3 out of 5 for a regular novel, 4 out of 5 for a romance novel.
Okay.
The plot gets...
Well, so why would you give Chloe that? Because, like, in my mind, a 5 out of 5 is, like, Jane Eyre level motivations, backstories, etc.
Well, that's true. I mean, she did have a pretty good backstory. Like, mm-hmm. they talked about her parents passing away and her granddad and why she's still optimistic after all these terrible things have happened to her.
Right.
And they... Like I said, I liked how she wasn't... She was also a character who wasn't just there for the romance.
See, that's my biggest pet peeve, is when the only thing that's guiding this character, her only goal is, like, man meat.
Right, and she's not. She's like, to get her to go to Scotland, he has to offer her all of the artifacts.
Bitch, where my money?
Yeah, basically, he's like, I'll pay you to come with me. And again, when they get to Scotland, he's still kind of like passing out antiques, like, you know, they're buying coins, which isn't okay either. But I'm saying that, like, it shows that she's motivated by things that aren't Dagus, you know,
right.
beyond the romance. And she is self-empowered, where, like, she wants these things.
Right.
So, okay, if we're going to put it on that scale, though, of, like, 5 is, like, Jane Eyre, we'll give her a 2.
Okay.
Because yeah. She's not so bad where she's like Shay hauling, but she's a little bit more
in
things
depth,
than that. But she also definitely falls apart when Dagus is gone. Like, she does not, there's no inner strength to her at uh-huh. all. Like, she becomes
dependent really quickly.
She becomes flat as a pancake. She's super dependent really quickly. And she's also just like so depressed. She can't even go to work or like take care of herself, basically.
Right.
So you still gotta take care, like, even if bad shit happens, you gotta be able to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Like, that's a thing. So, plot?
Why did they go to 16th century anyway?
I don't, because they thought that they needed to, and then they ended up not, which is, like, for me,
that's,
it's
like,
just bad writing.
If you've ever played, I know you haven't played D&D, but in my mind, that is, like, the pointless D&D side quest that really doesn't do anything, it's just filler.
Right, exactly. And that's, I think it was just, like, the author wanted them to go back in time. And they find out things that they could have found out in the modern day. That's
okay.
kind of what they figure out. And so it wasn't that they went, I guess they did go for a reason, but it was, like, not strong enough to, like, warrant them going.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's a romance novel, so, like...
Yeah. I think that, you know, having not read it, I think that something that might have been a little bit more interesting is if maybe there were fewer demons in his brain, but when you got internal monologues, you actually got all of the different voices. That would have been cool.
Yeah, but he actually does... say that they're not, they don't have voices, they just have impulses, so they
okay.
don't have a way to speak to him yet.
Right.
But he's pretty sure, like, the darker he goes, he knows that he'll be able to, like, hear him, and they're more gonna tell him to do things. Yeah, I'm gonna give the plot a generous 2.
A generous
2. Yeah. Wow.
Wow, that was indeed a lot to unpack.
Yes.
Oh boy.
It always is.
Surprise!
Oh,
16th century.
So over. I'm sorry.
Alright, so... For those of you new to the podcast, one thing we like to do is after we go, we dive through this underwater garbage fire, listen to the first episode, and you'll get it, of a book. We like to go through and sort of do a little bit of a palate cleanser.
Yes.
And talk about what we are reading outside, because, like, romance novels, if you've ever read one, which I hope you have, if not, you should, are really fast reads, at least in my mind.
Like, a couple hours.
Right. So what is... Margie, what have you been reading to sort of take your brain off of this when you needed a break from whatever this was?
So I have been reading... So right now I've been kind of like on a reading dry spell just because I think I've been pushing myself too hard on top of all the work I'm already doing.
Sure.
So I went to the library and I picked up just some books that I saw on the shelf that sounded interesting. The one that I've picked up right now is called The Hazel Wood.
Yeah, that's on my Goodreads.
Yeah, it's by Melissa Albert and I'm really enjoying it. I don't really, it's one of those books where I'm like, I can't predict where this is going at all.
Okay, see, I kind of appreciate that, yeah.
And it's very fair, it's fairy tale themed.
See, I love twists on fairy tales.
But it's not fairy tales that you've ever read before. I've really enjoyed it. I've also got a book at home that I'm really excited to read called The Essex Prince, or The Essex Serpent, and it just sounds really interesting.
That sounds neat.
So, yeah.
Yeah, well, when you finish that one, let me know, because it's been on my Goodreads for a while, and I haven't picked it up yet,
I did finish The Name of the Wind, and I highly recommend it to you.
Okay.
If you, like, you love Lord of the Rings, you will love this book.
Oh, shit, okay,
it's
cool.
It's Harry Potter meets Lord of the Rings.
Oh, that sounds rad.
It is really cool.
Okay, Name of the Wind, really got cool. Yeah, and if you guys want us to set up, like, a Goodreads or something, for the books that we've read and books that we actually would recommend, let us know.
We have one.
Do we? Okay,
yeah, I just
cool.
need to... I've already included a few books, romance novel books that we've read.
Okay.
But we need to add on the books that, like, we like.
We actually recommend.
Like,
Well, we will work on getting that up and keep your eyes peeled on our social media platforms for when we do get that up, and send us some recommendations.
Yes, send us some recommendations for books that you think that we would like outside of the podcast, but also books that you want us to do in terms of romance novels.
Right.
Because we're kind of just, like, going to the library, going wherever, and finding romance novels. But if you have recommendations, I'm excluding 50 Shades of Grey. I don't know when we will do that.
Saving that for a special episode.
Yes, we haven't. Yeah.
Yeah, we're definitely finding books kind of everywhere. There's a little free library in my neighborhood, and I found one there, and I picked it up. I'm both terrified and excited.
But like I said, we're just kind of finding books.
Yep.
So if you guys have recommendations or ones that you want us to do, or just a title that you see that's ridiculous, we will read it for you so that you don't have to.
Heck, send us a picture. There's
There's
a brewery in Indianapolis called Books and Brews, and they've been posting on their Facebook pictures of romance novels at their bookstores with googly eyes on them, and it's my favorite thing. So if you want to send us a ridiculous book cover, like, one of them is Fabio with two googly eyes, and it's so good!
Yes! Yep. Ooh, send us Fabio one recommendations.
Oh, yeah, I've never actually read a Fabio romance
novel. Neither have I!
Oh, snap.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
So
let's wrap this up.
Yeah, thank you so much for listening. Like we said, if you have any recommendations or have thoughts about the book we just unpacked, please let us know. You can find us on our website, textualtension.com, on Instagram at textualtensionpod, and on Twitter at ttensionpod, at ttensionpod.
Yeah.
So we want to thank Ayla Nerio for her song, Oh Love, which was used in the intro. So
thank you for your wonderful song. I won't lie, I got it off of a really cool free music website. So credit where credit is due. It's an awesome song.
It is. It is really great. So we'll see you guys next time.
Yeah, sounds good. Hit us up.